Straight from New Jersey, it's the SNL Nerds, the show where two comics from New Jersey nerd out and geek out about Saturday Night Live. I'm your co-host, Darren Patterson.
I'm your other co-host, John Trumbull.
Hey, how's it going, John?
I'm doing well.
Yeah. It's weird to do it, to do the intro first.
It kind of throws the rhythm off, right?
It does. It's so much power. I don't know if I wasn't ready for this.
But no. That was a great job.
It's like in those old movies where the pilot passes out on the plane.
Right.
And somebody needs to fly the plane. And
yes.
They're like, you fly the plane. And like, I got thrown in.
You're like the Ted Stryker of
yes.
this podcast.
Stryker. Nice. And Leon's getting larger. Oh, my God. We'll save that for the airplane podcast.
That's right. That'll be one of our spinoffs.
Oh.
I don't think there was anybody from SNL on Airplane, so I don't think we have a tenuous enough connection to have that be one of the movies we do over the summer.
Son of a bee.
But if we get like really hard up for subject matter,
right.
we'll do Airplane.
We'll find a connection.
That's right.
By hook or by crook, we will find a connection.
That's right.
But for now, let's talk about this episode of SNL we saw last night.
Yes, the episode we are covering today is the episode from March 9th, 2019, season 44, episode 15, Idris Elba hosting and Khalid musical guesting.
Yeah, Idris Elba, finally.
Idris Elba, and we've learned how to pronounce his name since last week.
Idris, yeah, somebody tweeted at us too that.
Idris.
Idris.
Yes.
Not Idris. Don't say it like that.
That would be wrong.
That's wrong. Don't.
That would be wrong and probably offensive.
Probably. Don't be that guy.
Right.
Not a bad episode. It had highs and lows and what have you,
mm-hmm,
and the
mm-hmm,
like. Mm-hmm. All right, so shall we just dive into this mother?
Before we dive into this mother,
whoa!
I have a bit of news. I have a little bit of news in our continuing quest to track down the Mohawk Man.
Mohawk Watch.
Yes. So as it turns out, I have a friend of a friend.
Yeah,
who works for SNL in a crew capacity.
Ooh.
And my friend told me that this person, like, they're, I said, like, oh, you know, we'd love to interview this person, like, over the summer hiatus or something like that. And he said, well, you know, well, we'd have to see on that because there are, like, apparently union regulations, that there are things he couldn't say and things like that. And I was like, oh, okay, that makes sense.
Sounds like he wants some payola. Do we have to grease the palms?
Maybe. But he said that Mohawk Man, because we've seen him talking to, I think last week we saw him talking to Kate McKinnon shortly before they came back with a sketch.
Interaction.
Which means he's likely a PA or a producer on the show because the crew is actually not allowed to talk to the cast. Or at least not allowed to talk to the cast, you know, right when you're about to go on air. And I was like, oh, that makes a lot of sense. That's fascinating.
The plot thickens.
So this Mohawk Man could be a highly placed guy on SNL.
This goes all the way to the top, people.
It does.
Follow the money.
So I found that like a very interesting tidbit, and we're going to keep working at this.
That's right.
We are going to find this. I did not spot Mohawk Man during any of the interstitials.
I didn't see him either. I taped the show religiously, and I was like rewinding and fast forwarding.
Yeah,
drinking pots of coffee left and right. No sighting.
And people are joining in on our quest. Like somebody like actually tagged us on Twitter.
What?
Saying let me find this because I know I retweeted it from the account. Oh. Give me just a second to get to this.
Frank, feel free to chop this up a little bit if you need to.
Well, or you know, you could just cut while I'm searching on my phone.
I should say something. Okay, all right. So, Mohawk. Well,
okay.
I mean, I'm just in stunned silence over this.
I know
these amazing
this revelation. Okay, our friends at That Week in SNL, which is the SNL podcast where they go through old episodes of the show.
Yeah, check them out.
Yes, please. They said thanks to SNL Nerd Show. I can't help but have my eyes peeled for Mohawk Guy. They tweeted that while they were live tweeting the show last night, which thank you for that shout out.
That's right. Thank you.
That week
guys.
At SNL.
Thank you.
So we enjoyed that.
We're starting a movement, people.
That's right. We are Legion.
B for Vendetta. I don't
know. Yes. But I just wanted to update folks with that. He may not be just a crew member. So he's no longer Mohawk crew member. He is Mohawk man.
He could be at I'd like that.
Yeah.
Mohawk man.
If anyone out there can come up with like a theme song for Mohawk man,
right?
Please send that to us.
Yeah. I mean, I just gave you like a little bit right there that
you could just sample Darren.
Yeah.
And that. And
I will sign away the rights for that.
I want like a jazzy, like mid-60s spy show, like something like the Peter Gunn theme or the theme to Secret Agent, you know?
For the millennials, Google Peter Gunn.
That's right.
It's a dope theme song.
They use it in the Blues Brothers movie.
For the millennials at home, Google the Blues Brothers
movie. Yes, yes. Yeah.
But this is, wow, this Mohawk thing is really taking off.
I know, it goes deep, man. But enough about Mohawk man.
Yeah, going deep.
We will have more on Mohawk man in future episodes. But for now, we are going to talk about this week's episode with Idris Elba and Khalid.
Yeah, So let's just jump into the cold open. And I kind of figured they would do this, but they open with the Gail King interview. Mm-hmm. Where she interviews R. Kelly.
Right, yeah, and it had Leslie Jones as Gail King and Kenan Thompson playing R. Kelly.
Yeah, yeah, Kenan doing a lot of the heavy lifting in this sketch.
Yes.
As Kenan is wont to do.
Yeah.
And I don't see how you wouldn't know, but of course, you know, R. Kelly is accused of some pretty horrific things and doing horrific things to women, but, I mean...
He got himself into a spot of trouble.
Yeah, a bit of a... I shouldn't say sticky situation.
No, you should.
A bit of a spot of bother.
He's in a pickle.
There you go. Even that's weird. Okay. But yeah. So,
oh, by the way, R. Kelly.
There you go.
Problematic bell.
So if you haven't seen the interviews, basically Gail King interviewing him about these years and years of allegations against him about doing horrible things to underage women, and of course he had the big old mental, you know, nervous breakdown, like, I didn't do these things, and it was like, you know, gift and memes all over the news, and they did a sketch about it, and I dug it. It was, I mean, it's definitely like a lot, it's a tricky subject to make a sketch about this, because like the subject matter is so dark.
Yeah,
but they were able to sort of find the humor in it by just pretty much mocking R. Kelly. And
yeah, I mean, I think they were more making fun of the absurdity of the interview.
Yeah.
I didn't see the real interview. I knew that the interview took place, but I wasn't curious or morbid enough to watch it.
I mean, I didn't see it either, but I caught up on, you know, like I said, like memes and GIFs.
Yeah, so. But the thing they did here was they had Kenan as R. Kelly, and he's doing sort of like a Trapped in the Closet style inner monologue.
Yes.
Of how well he thinks the interview is going and how he's clearing his good name.
Yeah, I'm clearing my good name.
And
and then at one point, Gail's like, stop singing out loud.
Yeah.
Oh, you can hear me?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I can hear you.
And they had some good lines. I like at one point, because I know in the real interview at one point, R. Kelly, he seems to be confused about where the camera is or which camera is pointing at him.
Yeah.
And they're like, the camera's literally right there. And he's like, oh, what? You keep your cameras out in the open like that? Oh, you're a freak.
Yeah, that got groans, I remember.
Yeah. The thing I really liked is at the end, where it was like, you know, do you have anything else to say? And then he like turns away from the camera.
He turns to the back wall.
Yeah, he turns to the plant behind him to say live from New York. It's Saturday night.
And Gail kind of turns. No, it's the camera's this way.
Yeah, and they correct it. I thought that was cute.
Yeah. I liked when he was having his breakdown and he said, like, how could y'all do this to me? I gave y'all Trapped in the Closet and Feeling on Your Booty and Age Ain't Nothing But a Number and so many other clues. Like, that was a funny line.
I mean, because there have been these allegations about him for forever. I remember a sketch on Chappelle's show about it. And that's like early 2000s.
Yeah, even before that. I remember like when Aaliyah, you know, Aaliyah was, because he helped bring Aaliyah to the forefront. And like, I remember back then, like the mid-90s, there were these rumors about how he married Aaliyah.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I don't know if they were, I don't think they were rumored. I think he actually didn't marry Aaliyah, but Aaliyah was like 17 or something. And, but like, no one, I don't, like, nothing really happened. Like,
yeah, it's so weird.
It was like so weird. It's like, is anybody going to do anything? I mean, it was weird. Yeah, I guess that people, you could figure like, you know, Jerry Lee Lewis did the same thing. And it was like,
married his 13-year-old cousin.
Yeah. And like, everybody was cool with it. And I guess, and
Yeah. What is? I don't know.
What is that?
I don't know.
What is that? Give me the answers, John Trumbull.
I don't know, Darren Patterson. I don't know what's. I mean, it's good that we seem to be like taking this stuff much more seriously than we used to. I mean, like, and also all over the news this week was, you know, the whole Michael Jackson thing, because there's a new HBO documentary, Leaving Neverland, which I again have not seen.
Yeah.
But that seems to be really turning people around and saying like, oh yeah, that the dude was a pedophile
again.
And, Michael Jackson.
Damn it. Fix the bell.
It keeps breaking
the bell.
All right. Michael Jackson. Boom. Oh, there we go.
There we go. But yeah, it's again, Michael Jackson. It's like something we all knew. Like, none of the information was new, but we all just kind of like shrugged it off and made jokes about it. And
Yeah.
But I mean, I think we're coming to this place where like, yeah, we really can't. This is pretty gross.
Yeah. And and the show touches on.
Yeah.
Okay, that's bad phrasing.
The
show returns to this subject later on in the episode.
Oh, yes.
During Weekend Update.
So we'll talk about that
a bit then.
That's a, we call that a teaser in the biz.
Yes.
But yeah, there's, I mean, as far as cold opens go, that was pretty good.
It was. I thought it was okay. I think. I have a feeling like I think I would have preferred it if like say Chris Redd had played R. Kelly. I feel like he would have. Yeah, I think hasn't he played R. Kelly on the show before?
No, I mean he usually plays Kanye. But
okay,
not R. Kelly.
Okay,
they all don't look alike. John Trumbull, how dare you? Ring, there it is.
Okay, I'm just gonna let that go. I can't even defend myself against that implication because anything I say will. Would be bad.
But I mean, as far as cold opens go, but I mean, I liked it. I mean, Keenan does what Keenan does. And
yeah, I mean, just have a gut feeling that Chris Redd would have done a stronger job with it. Because I feel like it's more in Chris Redd's wheelhouse,
if that makes sense. That's possible. You know? That's possible.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe. But I mean, then again, maybe it's one of those things where the whole sketch hinges on the R. Kelly performance.
Yeah.
So if you get a bad R. Kelly performance, you know, you don't. The sketch kind of falls flat, so maybe they didn't. And maybe they just knew Keenan would be better at it.
Yeah, I mean, Keenan's one of the big people on the show now, so I understand why they gave it to Keenan.
Right.
You know, you want to lead off with your star players, but
yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I think I just would have preferred seeing Chris Redd step up to it, but
all right, no, that's fair. Yeah. That's fair enough. All right, then we go right into the monologue with Idris Elba.
Idris Elba, you know, coming out and again making a joke, as some of the previous hosts of this season have done, about how he's not really a comedy guy. Kind of like Liev Schreiber did a little of this
when
he also said, the closest thing I did to a comedy before this was The Wire, which isn't entirely true because he was on The Office for a few episodes.
But that was after The Wire.
That was after The Wire, but...
Uh-huh. Oh, wait.
But it was still before this episode of SNL.
Oh, okay. All right. So, I see what you... Okay, well...
Because time is linear.
What? sorry, that True Detective. All right. All right, but yeah, Idris, he touched on a few things.
I love how carefully you're saying his name now.
I feel like...
Idris!
I feel like that old SNL sketch with the... newscasters are pronouncing things in Spanish.
Yes.
In Tegucigalpa. Anyway, but Idris, he touched on a few things that I mentioned on the last episode.
He did.
The fact that he was a doorman at Caroline's.
Right.
That you learned here, folks, first.
Yes.
And the fact that he was a DJ.
I know. I honestly put in my notes, I was like, did Idris listen to our last episode?
I think so.
He was like, oh, I better put those in my monologue.
Yeah. And he mentioned he sold weed. How crazy is that? He put that out there. I was like, whoa.
Well, I mean.
Wow, statute of limitations, fella.
Who's going to prosecute him for it at this point?
I don't know. You got to be careful these days, man.
Yeah, well.
You know what I'm saying? The block is hot.
Who knows? I mean, this was interesting. It seems to be like a trend in the monologues now where the hosts are kind of giving histories about their personal journeys to hosting the show.
Yeah, my personal journey.
Yeah, I mean, because we got a little of that with Awkwafina. We got a little of that with Matt Damon.
Yeah.
I think maybe a couple other people.
McAvoy.
McAvoy, right.
Yeah, yeah.
And
this is the new thing
it's,
now.
It's just like a new thing they do in the monologues now. Yeah. And I
and Halsey, too. Halsey did it, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, this, so is, it's, this is a new thing. Just talk and talk about your life and who you are.
Yeah, and they're just like, oh, and this is the road that brought me to SNL, and it, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah, it's, I like it. I mean, it's the, like you said, usually they do the go-tos, which is like go to the audience or do a mm-hmm. song and dance number. This is kind of a little refreshing.
They haven't done that as much this
season. They have not.
It's been a lot of like personal monologues.
My journey.
Yes.
By Idris Elba.
They get out their little scrapbook.
This is what I've gone through.
Baby's first SNL.
Aww. So sweet. But yeah, I dug it. It's a nice little open.
Yeah. And, so, next we have the first sketch, which was... huge break for SNL.
Yeah.
Doing a game show sketch.
What?
I know.
Since when?
I know. This one was actor's least favorite game show, Can I Play That?
Yeah. And listeners, I just watched that sketch like 5 minutes ago.
It's true. It's true.
I was busy last night.
It was funny. We both had like some conflicts on Saturday night.
Yeah.
So you missed the beginning of the show. I missed the very end of the show.
Yeah.
And we both caught up on it on YouTube.
Yeah. We're men on the go. We're very busy.
That's right. We're in demand.
Oh my God.
Darren was out of town. I was off in the city. I was seeing a Monkees concert.
Oh yeah.
With Mickey and Mike. Because I am nothing if not on the cutting edge of pop culture. It's like, yes, I'm going to go see those teen heartthrobs from 50 years ago.
Millennials, Google the Monkees when you can. You'll understand.
Yes. I am so very old.
Wow. Was that inner monologue you said out loud?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
Pretty much. But anyway. This sketch, the game show, Can I Play That? It was... all the contestants were working actors. Everybody,
right.
All the characters they were playing. We had Keenan as the game show host, had Idris, Cecily Strong, and Beck Bennett as the contestants. And it's basically a role is named, and the actors talk about if
they can play.
They can play that if it is acceptable for them to play.
Right, because the twist is the game show is sponsored by Twitter.
Twitter, make one mistake and we'll kill you, which...
That is, it's not a lie.
It seems very accurate. I mean, basically, it's a lot of these roles were named, and then there was discussion about if it would be, I guess, racially appropriate for people to play it. Because there's in the last few years, there's been a lot of blowback on that sort of thing. We had, like, Emma Stone playing, like, I think she was a half-Asian.
She was, like, a half or quarter Asian in that Aloha movie.
Right.
The Ghost in the Shell one. That was a huge... Yeah. Wow.
That was, Scarlett Johansson playing a character from an anime who's traditionally interpreted as Asian.
Right.
What's her name? I'm blanking on the actress's name. The actress who plays Uhura, who's in the Avatar movies.
Now I'm blanking.
She was cast as Nina Simone, and she got a lot of blowback.
Oh, yeah, because
she was considered too light-skinned of a black person to play Nina Simone.
Right, right. I can't remember.
And
it's Gamora from the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yes, yes.
This is going to bother me.
And now we're both blanking on her name. I feel less racist because Darren is also blanking on her name.
Yeah. welcome.
But, yeah, and there's been a lot of that. I mean, hell, we've even gotten blowback on Will Smith playing the genie in Aladdin.
That's true. But there also has been some blowback because, like, Will Smith is supposed to play... Because they're supposed to make a movie about the Williams sisters, Serena and Venus, and Will Smith's supposed to play Serena and Venus's father.
I don't think I'd heard that.
Yeah, yeah, it came out. Like, and if you look at Venus, Serena, Williams's father, he's a very dark-skinned man, and Will Smith is not.
Yes.
So that, of course, was like, why is this going to this guy and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So
Zoe Saldana.
Zoe Saldana. God.
That is the person we were blanking on.
I saw the letter Z in there somewhere. Yeah. I was like, Zoe Saldana.
That's so weird. I
have all apologies, Zoe.
Yeah. I don't know why we just went blank on her name.
Our mind's full of Mohawk, man. We just can't think straight.
I know.
Just can't think straight.
But I enjoyed the sketch. It was good. They had options like... can you play a blind person? I could play a blind person, and you can't. Like, and like, there's also been that stuff like, you know, can a straight actor play a gay person or a trans person, or should we have like only trans people playing trans people?
It's an issue, and there's always a thing where when they have people who are of like Middle Eastern descent in a movie, they always usually played by like British actors or white British actors. A lot of people have a problem with that. Like, what was it? There was that movie where like Christian Bale played like an Egyptian pharaoh or something.
Was it Gods of Egypt?
That might be it. Yeah. And like, you know, there's tons of blowback. And or what was it? M. Night Shyamalan's movie, the terrible, horrible movie.
Avatar: The Last Airbender.
Airbender.
Jake Gyllenhaal, like a few years ago, he was in the Prince of Persia movie, and it's like, you're not exactly Persian, Jake Gyllenhaal. You're a good actor, but
far from a prince.
Yes. So you can't just put the white guy in the eyeshadow anymore and have that.
Yeah,
work.
Don't do that.
Yeah, so I mean that's an ongoing debate. So this sketch was hitting on those questions.
Yeah, and I also liked how they kind of flipped it a little bit, where they had Beck Bennett, the white guy, saying what roles can he play?
Yes,
I could play a white guy, a slave owner,
or a white guy who's played gained 50 pounds.
Yes, and that's it.
Yeah, and that's it.
And
that's
like all Cecily Strong said, I could play like mom, horny mom, and a president in a comedy.
Yeah, only. A president, yeah. Or also, she said, a white teacher who helps minorities. And they're like, a white teacher who learns from minorities. Yes, okay.
Yeah. I liked it. It was making some great points and making you laugh.
Yeah, yeah.
And makes you laugh and think.
Had a great kicker at the end where the question was, can you play James Bond? And Idris Elba was like, I can play James Bond. I know the answer to that. And then Keaton just goes, do you though? Because... like the internet has kind of universally decided that Idris Elba should play the next James Bond after Daniel Craig.
He'd be great at it, but many British old fogies say no. He's like, no, James Bond's a white man.
Well,
they talk like that.
I know what you're talking about, and I know the interview. It was one of the Bond authors. I want to say Anthony Horowitz, but I'm not 100% positive on that. And
I don't know why I'm thinking one of the Beastie Boys when you said that name.
No, that was Adam. This was Anthony Horowitz. The different Horowitz.
The kid Ad Rock.
I'm not 100% certain on that, so I don't want to like totally commit to that. But I in the interview, they said like, oh, what would you think of Idris Elba? And he was like, I don't see him in the role. I think he's too street because of like the previous roles that Idris Elba had played. Mm-hmm. You're squinting suspiciously at me.
And
in the same interview, he suggested another black actor that he thought would be more appropriate for James Bond. And I don't remember the name of that actor because I didn't read this interview again in prep for this podcast.
Okay, gotcha. Why but, prep?
He got... And then, but the soundbite was just, this guy doesn't think that Idris Elba should be James Bond. So
street.
It was like, so he got I thought a little unfairly hard as a racist. Because I'm like, seriously? He suggested another black actor he thought was better.
Yeah.
How is that racist?
I know, it's weird. I mean, I can sort of understand it because Idris has played like, The Wire, and he's just been cast in a lot of kind of street roles, but I mean, he's an actor. He could do like a lot of stuff. He's been in casting like not street roles. So
yeah, I mean, at this point, it's like I don't know if he really needs James Bond at this point.
Nah, I don't think he does. He could be like another dude. He can start his own thing.
Yeah, and also like
Andrew Jackson or something.
Idris is, I think he's like pushing 50 at this point, and I think. Yeah. For
but see, he looks great.
He does look great. He does look
man.
He does look great. I just think whenever. And like Daniel Craig hasn't even started shooting his last movie yet. So I think whenever they go with another James Bond, they're probably going to go significantly younger.
Probably. So I heard rumors that like Cillian Murphy was in the mix for it.
But oh, yeah.
I don't know.
I think he's been discussed before.
Yeah,
but
we'll see. But yeah, I mean, Idris is he's fine. He's going to be fine. He has the Fast and Furious spinoff to.
Exactly, where he's bulletproof.
Yeah, exactly. So, and the Suicide Squad.
That's right. He's the new Deadshot.
Yeah,
which I'm excited about.
He's fine.
Definite upgrade from Will Smith.
Right.
I think.
So. You just don't need your James Bond, motherfucker.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry. Yeah. Samuel Jackson just came here on the mic. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
People.
Wow.
Next sketch.
next sketch.
It was a Bok Bok. Is that the was it?
Let's see. Hang on. Whatever.
The Bok Bok mascot that looked a lot like.
Yes, the fake ad. I just had so many notes on the game show that it took me a while to get that.
Wow.
Get that.
Thorough.
So, Yeah, so it was a fake ad with Bok Bok, a chicken chain, with Kate McKinnon as the mascot Bok Bok, who looks like the internet urban legend Momo.
Yeah, I didn't even, I mean, I kind of knew what they were talking about. It was like, it's like some character that comes up on the internet and like, it makes you want to hurt yourself or
something like that. I would know more about this if I had like a kid in high school now. But I mean, don't, sounds, thank God.
It sounds like the movie The Ring, if you ask me.
Yeah, yeah, it kind of does. I've only like sort of vaguely heard about this because, again, cutting edge of pop culture. I'm off seeing Monkees concerts.
That's right. Next up is Herman's Hermits.
That's right. Nice. And then Paul Revere and the Raiders. Ooh! I'm doing.
They're making they're coming back, baby.
That's right. And then that Bro Bumbles concert. That joke would have worked if I could have pronounced name correctly.
We'll clean that up in
God
post.
Damn it.
Oh, come on, man.
The Bo Brummels.
Oh, there you go. All right. Momentum dead.
But yes. This was okay. I mean it
hinged a lot on the on if you knew who Momo was. If you
It was basically like the cute fast food mascot looks like this disturbing internet troll thing. And Kate McKinnon looked so disturbing as this character, she looked like she should have been playing somebody in the Trump administration.
Ooh.
She plays all those as weird troll men.
As far as the sketch goes, it's kind of one note. I thought there'd be like a twist somewhere, but not really. It was just kind of, okay.
Yeah, it was a quick thing. It was I don't have too much to say about it. It was fine.
Neither do I.
Yeah.
Next up, PowerPoint workshop.
Yes, we had some guys from Microsoft who were coaching the office workers on PowerPoint. This was a very visual sketch. It's going to be very tough to tough to explain because it was basically they had three teams of people.
Right.
And Kate McKinnon and A.D. Bryant, they were playing the receptionists in the office, and they were just old and clueless about computer stuff.
Yeah, they didn't know how to like put together a PowerPoint presentation or design a page or anything.
Right, right. And so like they were flashing the things up on screen, and the other teams, they're doing good PowerPoint, and this was just
like a collection of squares and the word help written on it.
Yes.
And then they were just like kind of beating themselves up. It's like, oh, we're so stupid.
Yeah.
We're going to get fired and slapped.
Yes. At one point, Kate McKinnon says, I'm an idiot bitch. And then they start talking about how technically inept they are. And Kate says, once I couldn't figure out how to turn off my radio, so I poured water on it and it blew up my house. Which... I mean, this was cute. I enjoyed this.
There wasn't much to it, but it was like, all right.
Yeah, yeah. It was like a quick thing, but it was amusing. I thought Kate and A.D. Performed it well.
Yeah, they feed off each other pretty
well.
I'm surprised you don't see them in more sketches together.
They do have a chemistry there, and I think a certain comfort level there. I enjoyed, like, A.D. was wearing this massive, massive turtleneck. Like, her... Like half her face was inside this turtleneck. I think it was like so huge it was covering her chin.
Wow.
I was amused by that.
Oh. Well, I know what to get you for Christmas.
No, not a turtleneck.
Why not?
I hate
you. You just said you like the turtleneck.
I like looking at the turtleneck. I don't like wearing turtlenecks.
Fine.
There is a difference.
Fine. Well,
there is a difference, Darren Patterson.
Well, I didn't keep
learn the fucking difference.
Whoa.
God damn you.
What?
How dare you want to get me a turtleneck for Christmas?
Where did this
How
come from?
How dare you, sir?
Whoa.
How dare you?
Whoa. Whoa. Okay. Fine. I won't get you that.
So I don't really want a turtleneck.
So a V-neck then?
Yeah. A V-neck would be wonderful.
Okay, fine.
Thank you. Next
and scene.
next we had a film segment with Idris as a shopper who he's getting overcharged at a store, and he's getting very upset. He transforms into an emboldened white lady,
right?
Played by our favorite Cicely Strong.
That's right, the Impossible Hulk.
Yes. And then they show like a little flashback of his origin.
Right.
And they actually called him Bruce Banner, which I found amusing.
Yeah, they didn't change that at all.
They didn't change it at all. It wasn't like, you know, Bruce Baxter or, you know, it was like, nope, just straight up Bruce Banner.
Bruce Jackson.
No.
All right.
No. And and they even did the shot from the old Bill Bixby, Lou Ferrigno Hulk show right. where they do the split screen
the half
along the middle of the face. And it's half Idris Elba, half Cecily Strong.
Yeah. I mean, I like the idea of the sketch, but I don't know. It kind of repeated the same kind of mm-hmm. thing. I don't know. I don't know if I expected like a little turn in it somewhere, but I liked it. But I was like, I feel like I should have gone a little bit further.
Basically, the joke was like, there's nobody more emboldened than an offended white lady, which
not wrong,
because she was always getting on her cell phone to call 911 to complain about everything, and it's I think they were
let go of me.
Yeah,
let go of me.
I'm not even touching you.
Where is your manager? Let me talk to your manager right now. I'm calling the cops.
This is an apartment. Oh, you don't have a manager.
No, you do not get to tell me no.
Yeah, and I feel like this was maybe partially inspired by like some of the YouTube videos we've seen in the last year or two. Like,
you remember Barbecue Becky?
Yeah, the lady who was outraged by the black people having a barbecue in a public park.
Yeah, and the woman that called cops on like a 12-year-old girl selling water or something. I think that was in San Francisco too. But I was like, wow. I was like, geez, what?
White people are the worst, aren't they?
You said that, not me.
Yeah.
I'm glad you said that.
You're going to co-sign though, right?
Am I? I'm trying to get representation this year.
Okay.
Man.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll talk off air.
Yes, please.
You know, this was all right. I thought, you know, they had a few like comic book panels.
Yeah.
In the origin, it was a pretty good Idris Elba. I thought they could have done a better Cecily.
Yeah.
The caricature did not flatter her. SNL, call me next time.
John had a lot of pictures. I don't know where he gets them. But he has them.
I'm just shaking my head.
And the next sketch is...
Yeah.
The Gold Diggers of the WNBA.
Yeah. This was Idris Keenan and Chris Redd, and they were...
Yeah, they're basically...
Three guys...
Three guys dressed up in like Steve Harvey suits.
They all look very Steve Harvey.
Yeah, like very colorful, like, you know, ready for Easter.
Mustaches
all ablaze.
And
it's like kind of done in the style of like Real Housewives of fill in the blank.
Yeah, basically they're looking for sugar mamas among they're like WNBA groupies.
Right, exactly.
And
and they're all kind of doing like this kind of, you know, sup player. And like I think like one woman was walking up to them, and he kind of shooed him away.
Mm-hmm.
And like the other guy was like, "Why are you shoot her away?" It's like, "Oh, she's a bench warmer. I'm looking for a woman who can almost dunk."
Like, wow. And to
WNBA
to play up the visual gag, they had like Cecily and Leslie Jones, and they come over, and to make them look taller, they're like on platforms.
Yeah,
to make them look
Leslie Jones like taller. Crazy tall. I was like, oh, she's on.
I mean, she's a tall woman to begin with. I think she's like close to 6 feet, something like that.
But she looked taller, and I think
she was definitely on a platform because at the very end of the sketch, you see her step off the platform as she's walking on stage.
They didn't quite work that out.
The framing wasn't quite right, or they didn't cut at the right time.
Oh.
Or something, you know, it's like, oh, well, that kind of kills it.
But, live TV.
Live TV. What are you going to do?
But yeah, I mean, as far as sketch goes, it was kind of one note. I don't know.
I didn't quite get this one. I mean, maybe because I don't really watch those types of reality shows or anything like that.
I mean, I kind of got it. They're just like, you know, sugar dudes looking for WNBA to pay for the mustache wax and colorful suits, I guess.
Is mustache wax, is that a big expense?
Oh, forget it. What? Okay. My God.
Yeah.
Oh my God! You write that off on taxes.
Okay.
What are you talking about? H&R Block. They know what's up.
That's right. That's
but,
right.
But yeah, I mean, as far as sketches go, it was. I expected a little bit more. Nothing. It didn't really go anywhere.
Yeah, it didn't. Not it amusing, no huge laughs. It just didn't.
It just like all right, yeah. Well.
So next we had our musical guest Khalid. Yeah,
Khalid.
His first number was a song called "Talk." It was sort of a slow jam.
For the ladies.
And his second number was called "Better," and that was another slow jam
for the ladies.
And you know that second song, it seemed like a long intro to a song that never really kicked in for me. It was just like a very slow build.
Yeah, I know. I remember what I read on this. I miss Boys to Men and Shy. I
think that's what I wrote. Okay.
Like, I mean, just because I'm... Because, like, I grew up in the 90s with R&B.
Right.
So I'm used to, like, you know, Boyz II Men and Shy and En Vogue and, like, R&B singers like that, that, you know, just really sang. And, like, this, I don't know, Cully, he seems all right. It sounds all right, but it's just kind of, like, sleepy, kind of drowsy.
Very mellow.
Hey, hey. Yeah. I was like, is this R&B now?
It was nothing I got real excited about.
Yeah.
I mean, and neither one of us was really familiar with Khalid before this.
Not at all.
Okay.
I was like, oh, I should have listened to the album like I said I would, but I didn't.
You had a busy week.
Yeah, I was all over the place. I'm a busy man, people.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, I don't have any really notes for Khalid. I mean, sounds okay. I'm just like, eh.
I mean, I didn't hate him on a scale from, you know, Greta Van Fleet to 10.
Let's not go back to that.
You know, I thought he was fine. I thought he was unobjectionable.
that's the name of his album, isn't it?
You know, not my personal thing, but, you know, that's fine.
He's there.
So, next weekend update with our friends Colin Jost and Michael Che.
That sounded so weird.
Well, yeah.
Okay. So this one kind of this. Am I crazy? This the
my, you are crazy. Kinda,
it
yes.
went long.
Did it go long?
Wait,
I didn't.
Oh, I just caught that.
I was just confirming that you are in fact crazy.
That's what I thought. But yeah, the weekend left to see a little bit longer. Or am I nuts?
I don't know. I didn't time it.
Okay.
And when I looked on YouTube for the sketches, the weekend update was all broken up into chunks.
Yeah,
so I don't know.
Chop it up. Okay. What's the significance? I don't know. It was
long.
It felt long, but sure.
So, the Colin Jost parts felt long, but those always feel long to me.
Oh boy, we're never gonna get.
I'm back on the Jost hate train, baby.
Oh, hate.
That's right.
Oh, you can...
That's right. But the big story they were talking about, Trump's old campaign manager Paul Manafort sentenced to 4 years in prison out of a potential, I think it was like 24.
That's insane.
Insane. It's yes,
Paul Manafort, who looks like he was born divorced.
yes. I like. Jay had a great line. He said, as a black guy, this feels very unfair, but as a rich black guy, it's a little encouraging. Because he fully thinks he's going to be prosecuted someday, like 40 years in the future for something he does today. Either calling this person the N-word or my kids the N-word or this other person the N-word.
Oh, yeah, and Joseph's like, your kids?
Yeah.
Che. Like you said, he always has a fresh take on something like on these things. And sure enough, he... fresh take was had.
I enjoyed it. Let's see. Next note.
Oh,
Colin Rocky IV joke lame. That was.
Boy,
I didn't go into more detail about that. But
wow, I'm surprised you wrote that.
He did a lame Rocky IV joke.
I'm surprised you wrote that down.
Yeah, he was drawing a parallel. I think, but he was talking about because Hillary Clinton announced she wasn't going to be running for president again, and then he drew a parallel with
Rocky IV.
Yeah, because he was saying that Hillary was like Rocky and then Trump was the Russian asset, and they photoshopped Trump's head onto Ivan Drago's body,
and like Hillary literally went into the woods after
to train.
That's right.
Yeah, didn't work.
Yeah.
I mean, it could have been developed into something, but no,
it did make me want to watch Rocky IV.
Sure,
there you go.
Sure. I mean, when don't you want to watch Rocky IV? And then,
never.
Next, we had Heidi Gardner returning as Goop representative Baskin Johns.
Yes. Not a bad sketch. Oh, and we had a little cameo in this one.
We did. She did this character like once earlier this season, and it was basically she's talking about the Goop products, or supposed to be talking about the Goop products, but she gets very flustered on TV, especially when it's pointed out to her that Gwyneth, the big Goop guru,
Goop
person, yes,
the Goop.
The big celebrity head of Goop might be watching, and she was talking about one particular product, and it had the ingredients of ginger and ashwagandha, which she said comes from Wakanda, the fictional country from the Black Panther.
That was meh.
Let's take a moment just to contemplate the fact that we now live in a world where the man on the street knows what Wakanda is. That as a comic fan, that boggles my mind.
What a time to be alive.
It really is.
What a time to be alive.
I mean, it really does every once in a while startle me how mainstream comics culture is now.
Nerd like, culture is, you're not special anymore.
This afternoon before we recorded, I went to go see the Captain Marvel movie, and there were the trailers before. There was a trailer for the X-Men Dark Phoenix movie. There was a trailer for what was it?
Shazam.
No, oddly enough, there wasn't
no Shazam,
but there was one for the Spider-Man Far From Home.
Okay.
So I went to a Captain Marvel movie, and there was a trailer for another Marvel movie, a Spider-Man movie, and then another Marvel movie, X-Men, and then in the lobby there's a poster for Avengers Endgame. There's a poster for the Shazam movie.
Oh man!
If you told me this when I was 12, it would have blown my fucking mind.
Oh my golly!
But
you okay?
I'm fine. I just wanted to take a minute that like Wakanda is getting name checked for in SNL sketch. That's
Are you okay? Are you crying?
I'm okay.
Are you
I'm
crying?
Okay. I'm good. Okay. I'm good. Okay. I'm good. So
in this sketch, she gets very flustered and she's like, "Oh, let me call out my supervisor, Piper." And of course,
Piper? I thought it was Pfeiffer.
I wrote down Piper. Could be Pfeiffer.
Okay.
Piper, Pfeiffer.
I had it as Pfeiffer in my notes, but okay. Whatever. But it was none other than Gwyneth Paltrow.
Pepper Potts,
her own damn self.
Yeah, she didn't seem to get like a big applause, but... You
know. I think because maybe people didn't immediately recognize her because of the wig.
Oh, that makes sense.
I mean, she was in a brown wig to make her look like... Because she was another employee of Goop. She wasn't playing herself, Gwyneth Paltrow.
That makes sense. So yeah, Paltrow came out and she did all right.
Yeah, and Heidi as Baskin, she was like scared that she might get fired, and then Gwyneth as Piper or Pfeiffer or whatever her name was says, "Oh, we don't call it fired; we call it conscious unemploying." and then Gwyneth's character gets just as flustered as Heidi's character. This was weird.
A little bit.
I like Heidi, but I personally wasn't really clamoring for this character to return.
Wow.
And honestly,
Justin's going to be tweeting at you.
Okay.
Are you ready for that? Are you ready for his ire?
I preceded that by saying I like Heidi.
Okay. People hear what they want to hear. I'm just saying.
Okay. Okay.
I'm trying to help you out.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Justin Garner, brother to Heidi Gardner, is a patron of the show. You can be too at non-productive.com.
Yes, give us
money.
If you
enjoy this content and you will actually get our episodes a little bit earlier than the common folk.
That's right. you can ride above the plebeians and
that's right. And you
surf.
Can be in the elite club with Justin Garner.
Yes.
Honestly, it felt a little more like a commercial for Goop than a comedy bit to me.
You're not wrong.
Yeah.
But like at the end where they say what Goop stands for, and Goop stands for Gwyneth opens our paychecks.
Not inaccurate.
Not at all.
Not much more to say on that.
Yeah, pretty much. So what else happened? There was that Michael Jackson joke that they had in there.
Yeah.
They would have said, like, Michael Jackson, leaving Neverland, Doc was, very damaging to Michael Jackson. And, a Doc hasn't been this damaging to Michael Jackson since Dr. Conrad Murray. And there were groans.
Yeah, yeah.
Loud
groans. And then we hear Che go, "I stand by that," which I love. When he gets that reaction, he doubles down. He's like, "I stand by that. That's a good joke."
I kind of liked it. I remember listening to one of the SNL podcasts. I forget which one. But somebody said, like, they love Che because he's probably like the one cast member in the whole cast who's like a little dangerous. Like, he'll do and say stuff.
I think that was on SNL After Party. I was listening to that on the train.
Yes, that
back
was
from the city last
like,
night.
He's like the last hint of the old danger that the old SNL used to have. And, I agree
with that.
Yeah,
I agree with that. Yeah, yeah.
Very much so. But yeah, Conrad Murray, I was like, ooh.
Yeah, that was... a nice edgy joke, which I enjoyed.
That's right.
And we also had Pete Davidson talking about R. Kelly and Michael Jackson. He comes out of the gate strong. He said, "If you support the Catholic Church, isn't that the same thing as being an R. Kelly fan?" Which, wow.
Oh, he's not wrong.
He's not wrong. But I wrote down, I was like, oh, this is the thing that Pete Davidson's going to have to apologize for in the next episode.
Yeah.
Because that's... That's the cycle he's on.
Yeah. Oh, this, you know. Yeah, he's just on the apology tour.
He does a segment on Weekend Update. He comes back on the next Weekend Update. He apologizes for the previous thing.
Yeah.
And then he's off for a week or two, and then the cycle repeats itself.
Then he
does
a show at Liberty Live.
he opens circle. For John Mulaney, and you know
the circle of life. But yeah, I mean, he's not. I mean, he's not wrong. I mean, Catholic Church. I mean,
they have certain things in common.
Yeah. oh boy.
He says the main difference is one's music is significantly better.
Yeah. And he married Charlie Chaplin, married a 15-year-old, and everybody.
Yeah, and everybody was okay with that. Yeah. And then he was talking about it, you know, and he didn't even talk. And they're like, no, Pete, he did talk. He's like, no, I watched all his movies, and you know, he never talked. That's why he was a silent movie star.
Right. But which, he also said it's one thing that I've been saying to myself, to my friends for a while. He said, like, if you mm-hmm. want to keep listening to all these people that have done horrible things, you can listen to them, but then afterwards donate $1 to charity.
Which isn't a bad idea.
I've been saying that for the, like, I mean, I should have tweeted it, but I swear to you, I just, like, thought it
okay.
to my and myself, and I said it to friends and family. I said it to a bunch of friends at a game night a couple weeks ago. So if you tweet Raquel Diapiste, she can back me up, or Rachel Parenta.
You had a game night without me?
Oh, what?
Wow.
Did
this etu, Darren Patterson?
What?
Etu?
No, I didn't say game night. I said grave night. Because we were...
You went like grave robbing without me?
Yeah. No.
The two things we do off air together. We have game nights and we go grave robbing. And now you're doing both of those with somebody else.
I'm digging myself.
What the hell, man?
I'm digging myself into
what the hell?
I'm digging myself into a hole here. Get it? See what I did there?
Yeah.
Waka waka.
but I liked Pete Davidson had another good line. He said, you don't know how good someone's music really is until you find out they're a pedophile.
Yeah.
He says, if I found out Macklemore did some weird stuff, I'd be happy to free up the space on my iPhone.
That's a great... I mean, that's something
great line.
I've been thinking, too. Like, people... If it's an artist you don't like or don't listen to, you can say that person's terrible. But if it's somebody you love, then it's you gotta wrestle with some feelings.
Yeah,
it's hard to let go of that.
Absolutely. Yeah, if it was somebody you idolized or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. If it's somebody you didn't like to begin with, you're just like, oh well, you know,
fuck that dude.
I always felt like they were a piece of shit anyway. Yeah. So.
Exactly. Indeed.
And I also liked how he said all really talented people are sick. And then he says, Colin, you and me are safe. Shay's a genius, though. Just implying that Shay's got some weird shit going on that we don't know about.
If something comes out about Shay in the next few weeks, I'm going to be like, oh, wow. People are going to be like, Pete Davidson knew.
And
he was making jokes.
Yeah. And then at the very end, Pete Davidson talked about the latest tabloid story du jour.
Yeah.
His relationship with Kate Beckinsale, which I guess he's getting some blowback because of their age difference.
Yeah. And then, of course, he came out and said...
He gave a long list of other celebrities who dated people significantly younger.
Yeah, if you think you have a problem with me and our age difference, then you should also talk to, you know, he mentioned like all these, you know.
Bruce Willis, Harrison Ford, Larry King, Larry King.
And he even mentioned Alec Baldwin, too. He threw that
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, whoa, that's.
You're biting that hand that feeds you.
You're saying that in his house.
That's right.
Whoa.
That's right.
And he's not wrong. It's like whenever it's like an older dude and like he's dating a girl who's like significantly younger, you know, that meet your second wife vibe.
Yeah.
People are okay with it.
But that's considered much more socially acceptable because that literally goes back decades.
It does.
And we've only seen it the other way ever since Demi Moore and Ashton Kutcher, I think.
I guess that was a big one.
I think that was the very first older woman to ever date a younger man.
Yeah, Demi Moore. Whoa, that was. Wait, sorry.
You okay?
What? Yeah.
You need a moment?
Where am I?
Okay,
I'm good. But yeah, and out next we had Leslie Jones.
Talking about planning her funeral.
I mean, this was all right, but I don't know. I felt like it should have ended on the Pete Davidson one. I mean,
that was stronger.
Yeah,
definitely.
Very much so. Like this was okay. I mean, it just basically Leslie Jones talked about how she wants to be buried naked and
open casket.
Yeah, Stifler from American Pie giving a speech.
Right.
She wants Fantasia Barrino to sing, and not let the Fantasia Barrino
and not J-Lo. J-Lo has to sit down and shut up. And then she basically wants a Viking funeral with Jason Momoa shooting flaming arrows.
Yes,
at the boat. Yeah, but she calls him Aquaman because she's like, there's no way a guy like that is named Jason.
Wants him dressed as Khal Drogo and what? I mean, it was.
This didn't do much for me. Honestly, it reminded me why I used to fast forward through Leslie's segments on Weekend Update.
Yeah, it was.
This was the stuff she does that's not to my taste.
Yeah,
I mean, I've enjoyed her as characters lately.
She actually got a good chunk to work of work to do in this episode.
It was a heavy Leslie episode. Yeah.
Well, we'll talk about that a little bit later. Stay tuned.
So, I mean, it was a fine weekend update segment.
Yeah.
I think Pete Davidson's thing was obviously the strongest.
Yeah,
I think Jay should have had a little more.
Yeah,
but
Jay, you know, had more to say.
It wasn't like the total train wreck that it was. Before
the Don Cheadle.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's not talk about that.
Yeah, the scars are still healing.
Let's just bury that in the backyard.
Never talk of it again.
Never speak of it. Just toss it off the bridge.
That's right.
Into the waters.
Next we had an English football sketchers.
Premier Football League.
As we Americans call it, soccer.
Football.
With Mikey Day, Alex Moffat. Alex Moffat, Mikey Day. Alex Day, Mikey Moffat.
They're starting to differentiate themselves a little bit, but
yeah,
they're still interchangeable.
But they're still like joined at the hip for many sketches.
Very much.
So they were the announcers, and our host Idris Elba as David, who is an injured player filling in as an announcer.
Yeah,
and
he's a bit of a goof, bit of a dum-dum.
Yeah, he's not too verbal. He didn't have much to contribute, and he says lots of inappropriate things, like when they're showing pictures of the players' wives in the stands. Yeah. He says, "I'd smash that."
Yeah,
and then they cut to her mother.
Yeah, I'll shag her too.
I'll smash that.
Yeah, and then they show his wife next to them.
Yeah, and he's like, "Oh, she's very forgiving. She's very faithful."
Yeah, and like there's the part where the announcers say, "Hey, so how does this feel to be on this side of the behind the announcers that's wearing a suit?" And it's like, "Oh, well, wearing a suit feels a bit gay."
Yeah.
And they're like, "Oh, wow, that you should not have said that."
And what do you have to say about this player, David? And he's like, "Well, it's a massive knob for a white guy."
White bloke.
He's
a massive knob for a white bloke.
This was all right. It maybe didn't go as far as it could have, but
it's just laughing off at inappropriate things a big jock says.
Yeah, yeah.
Which, yeah, it's like, all right, there you go.
It was all right.
It was all right.
It was a little bit of all right.
It was a little bit of all right, yeah.
Next, we had a magic show with...
The great Rudolfo,
who... Yeah. Here he has a new assistant. His regular assistant, I think he said, got hurt, like that. And so subbing was the wife of the casino manager.
Yeah.
And Leslie Jones, again, as we said, big show for Leslie Jones.
Leslie was in a tight... outfits.
Yeah, the joke was she wasn't really the right size for the outfit or for the other tricks that were very predicated on his previous assistant's size.
Yeah, more petite.
So she has to fit in this small box that he impales with swords.
Yeah.
And then she gets out of the box and she's bleeding from the side.
Yeah, and the casino owner is like, "Yeah, you could do it, girl. You could do it, baby."
Yeah, and then she has to go into a water tank and she doesn't fit in the water tank.
And she's in an actual water tank.
Yes.
Water's spilling out everywhere.
And then Idris gets handcuffed and he's supposed to rescue her from this.
Yeah.
And we find out at the very end of the sketch that this was actually an attempted hit, and the casino manager has paid him to kill his wife.
"I paid you good money to kill my wife."
Which, weird thing to throw out there last second, and then just boom, the sketch ends like a few seconds later.
Yeah, there was a lot happening here.
There was a lot.
A lot of props, a lot of
technical things.
Yeah, it's like,
I noticed like after Idris gets handcuffed, the handcuffs are like coming open.
Oh.
Which... doesn't look that great when he's supposed to be handcuffed.
Yeah, it was a little too much. It was a lot happening. They should have like trimmed that down a little bit, I think.
Yeah, it was a lot. Yeah,
you literally shrugged and were like, "Man,
yeah, it was a meh kind of sketch.
It was a big old bag of meh."
Yeah.
Okay, and so the final sketch was. This was weird.
Supportive friend.
Yeah.
This was actors gathering, actors in LA, they're gathering at a bar and they're kind of commiserating about the state of their careers, going on auditions, all that. And then Idris comes in, he just got the second lead on the new CSI show.
CSI in Memphis.
Yes. And then Beck Bennett is a fake supportive friend and he's trying to...
He's like, "Oh, wow, you got it!
Yeah.
All right! Yeah! We're doing it! Yeah!"
yeah,
I gotta go outside for a minute.
And then he goes outside, and you see him outside the window saying, no, it should have been me. Somebody love me. And then he comes in and he starts doing karate.
Yeah. And then everybody applauds him doing karate, and then it ends.
It was a very abrupt ending. It felt like this was a sketch that was like cut short for time.
Yeah.
Like something else went over, like maybe Weekend Update.
Yeah,
went
exactly.
Over like you
that
thought,
seemed long.
And they had to chop a minute or two off of this thing.
And so the sketch just made no sense, really, because it ends with Beck Bennett doing like karate moves and everybody in the bar going, yay, karate. And then the end. And
yeah, it was like, a little nonsensical.
It's like, what?
I
did like that one part where he's outside screaming, somebody love me, because I feel like that's a lot of actors in LA.
Yeah, yeah. And it's tough when it's, I mean, we kind of experienced this with, in the stand-up world, I think.
Yeah.
You know, you see your friends become successful or get a big break or something.
Yeah. No, I'm totally happy for them.
And you want to be happy for them, but there is that part of you that is a little jealous.
Right, yeah.
Or thinking like, oh, why didn't an opportunity like that come my way? Why didn't... Yeah.
And I take that anger to the stage.
That's right.
Screaming,
or
somebody love...
To the podcast.
Yes. Screaming, somebody love me into a microphone.
Or on your grave robbing or your board game nights.
Look,
or
that's...
something like that.
How
I'm
did
just,
you find out about
I'm just
that?
Throwing... You literally mentioned it 10 minutes ago. And I remember things.
Were you listening?
Because I... Yes!
You heard that?
I am co-hosting this with you. Yes, I was listening.
Wait, these mics are on?
Yes!
Oh.
Yes, we have been recording for the last 55 minutes.
Oh, no. Wow. All right. I may have said some things. I thought this was a dry run. Jeepers. All right, well, hey.
So, that was the show.
Yeah, not bad. I mean, Idris was definitely game for this episode.
I don't think he was the best host we had this season by any stretch. He was a little shaky at times.
A little bit. I can see that, but he did all right.
Yeah, I thought it was a so-so episode overall. Definitely a come down after the John Mulaney episode last week.
Yeah, John Mulaney. I mean... I watched that what's that name sketch over and over. I've watched that like maybe five or six more times.
Wow,
I really like that sketch quite a bit.
That's it was one of the best of the season, definitely.
I would agree with that.
And you know, I honestly thought it handicapped this episode a little bit because they came back with another game show sketch, and you have Keenan hosting, and it's like after you have Bill Hader returning as a game show host, you can't help but suffer in comparison.
How can you have a cheeseburger after you've had filet mignon?
Exactly.
Thank you.
Exactly.
I'm so hungry.
Even though I thought what was the name of the sketch from this week? The game show.
Oh, Can I Play That?
Yeah, Can I Play That?
That was it was a strong sketch.
I think that was my favorite sketch of the night. Even though it was like a strong sketch in its own right, I feel like it might have been better if they'd held off on that for a few weeks or something.
All right,
of course, you know, then you couldn't do the Idris Elba James Bond joke.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
How great would it have been if they'd had Scarlett Johansson do a cameo in that sketch, though?
That would have been nice.
Because Scarlett, she got the blowback from
Ghost in the Shell,
and then she was also supposed to play, I think, somebody who transitioned, like a trans person or somebody who had a sex change operation.
I forget which. Oh, I don't remember
And
that.
She got a massive amount of blowback from that, and she ended up dropping out of that project.
Yeah, I remember that.
And
Twitter is
a savage beast.
It's a relentless beast.
And
a chihuahua. It is some kind of something.
Mm-hmm.
All right,
mm-hmm.
And so that's our episode. And next episode will be in 2 weeks,
March 30th.
March 30th.
With Sandra Oh and Tame Impala.
Yes.
I used to drive a Tame Impala, I
did
think.
You?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Cool.
Good mileage
on that thing?
Yes. Yeah. Very good mileage. Very reliable vehicle. So I'm looking forward to the...
They have a car as a musical guest.
I know. It's...
This
radical!
This is out of left field.
I am not familiar with Tame Impala. Are you?
I'm familiar with the name. I have heard of the Tame Impala, but I'm not familiar with
what kind of what kind of music.
It's like a alt rock, I believe.
Oh, okay.
We are old.
All right.
If it's not the Monkees, we just don't know it.
No.
If it's not the Turtles,
no.
Herman's Hermits,
Paul Revere and the Raiders,
Paul Revere and the Raiders, Brummel.
See, it's tough to say. It's tough to say the Bo Brummels. Blah, 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 blah.
My mouth just...
That is why they did not succeed as a band, because they had too many damn B's in their name. Nobody could say their name correctly.
It's like, we got to change our name. Bo Rummels, let's do it. No,
Barney Rubbles? What? No.
The Bo Brummels.
Yeah, so that's I'll listen to Tame Impala and get caught up on that. But Sandra Oh, you know, great actor, as we all know. She was
maybe she'll give a speech right after she's come out of the shower.
Oh,
like they said in one of the earlier sketches, which like, I guess that's a reference to the show she's on now.
Maybe no. What the Killing Eve or?
Killing Eve.
No, yeah. I saw Killing Eve.
They were doing that. They were doing that that sketch with the Actors Roundtable. This was in the Awkwafina episode.
Oh wow! All
right. And they were like, "I'm Sandra Oh, and I'm always giving a speech after I've come out of the shower."
I got to go back and.
And look. I was like, "Is that a thing they do on Killing Eve?"
No, I haven't seen that.
Well, I don't entirely get that joke from the Awkwafina episode. Yeah. I'm saying.
For those that don't know, Sandra Oh, she was probably from Grey's Anatomy. She was in the movie Sideways. And,
great in Sideways. Great
she
movie.
Hosted with Andy Samberg, SNL alum. Mm-hmm. Was the Golden Globes?
Yes.
Yes. And she's most well known now for a BBC America show called Killing Eve, which I've seen. It's a really good show. And it's a great show hosted by two female leads.
Is she Eve?
She is Eve, yeah.
Ooh.
I mean, basically.
Who's trying to kill her?
Well, it takes place in London. And it's. So she plays this sort of CIA or whatever the CIA version of you know, in London is. She
MI6?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Okay.
So she plays this MI6 agent who's like sort of on, she's trying to find this assassin killer who's like kind of fabled and fictioned a little bit. Who, I forget the character's name. But
Zoe Saldana.
No, it's not that. But yeah, so basically.
Bo Brummel.
No, it's not Bo Brummel. But yeah, so basically she plays this MI6 agent who's trying to find this assassin who's this woman who's like, you know, very kind of, you know, very attractive blonde woman, so people kind of have their guard around her, but mm-hmm. she's like a
Is she an emboldened white woman?
Yeah, a little bit, but she's also like sociopathic. She like she'll kill people.
So an emboldened white woman.
Yes, wow. Okay. Oh wow. Happy National Women's Month, people.
Yeah. But yeah, Trumbull Comic on Twitter.
Yes,
people.
Yes. Please. I'm trying to save my career here. But yeah. So she's trying to track down this assassin mm-hmm. who's like very you know, she's like very smart but she also like lies a lot. She's like very deceitful, and she's also like literally like sociopathic.
Like, so it's like a thriller show.
Yeah, it's like a thriller crime drama type of show.
Okay.
Very bloody, and like it's basically like sort of the two of them playing cat and mouse. And like the two
deadly game of cat and mouse,
very much. And like, there's like some they allude to it throughout the show. Like, there's like sort of like a weird connection between the two of them. Like, they're very drawn to each other, and they don't quite know why.
Oh, like, isn't that always the way?
Yeah, like I mean,
that's how we started doing the podcast. We were drawn to each other. We didn't know why. We started out as arch enemies.
Yes, and now we are the best of friends. But yeah, so
no, you know, until I found out about that grave robbery.
Oh
thing.
Boy! All right, I'm never coming back. But yeah, no, so the assassin, her name is Villanelle, played by Jodie Comer, and like so yeah, the two of them have like a very like a cat and mouse dynamic, and it's like this weird attraction, and it's almost on the verge of sexual at times, but but it's not really, but it's very
sexy.
It's a very strange dynamic to have. It's Women's History Month, man. Or whatever. Women's Month?
It was International Women's Day the other day.
There we go. All right. Yeah. That's it.
And we just finished Black History Month.
There we go. Okay. Yeah. All right. Well,
You know, we just gave the women the day, so that was totally acceptable.
I can
go back to
I did not co-sign on that at all. I think women deserve a whole month.
90% of the episodes we've done, you do the thing. What? When we're talking about sexy stuff. I do it once, and now you're piling on me.
Prove it.
We will go to the tapes. I will have our producer Frank Kablawi edit together supercut of you going.
He ain't doing that. He ain't got time.
No, he won't. But I will threaten to have him do that.
Oh my god! let's not threaten the Lorne Michaels of this podcast, please.
This is the last episode of the SNL Nerds podcast. We've obviously had a good run.
It was good, guys.
We're dissolving into acrimony now.
Yeah, it was fun while it lasted.
Yeah, we're sorry you had to hear this, but
Killing Eve. It's a great show. Very stylized. Watch it. You can watch it on AMC. It's like on the AMC app and on demand on AMC. It's a really good show.
Okay.
I think it's like only 8 episodes long. It's only on the first season. Mm. Second season starts in April. Watch it. Killing Eve. great show.
You are a fount of information on Killing Eve.
I try. Yeah. I liked it a lot. That was really good.
All right. Okay. In other news, we have a new review on the iTunes.
Okay.
This was from MN Jedi Scott. He says, let's see, the headline is cut off, so it just says, excellent and funny SNL podcast, I'm assuming.
Okay.
He says, I've been listening to the SNL Nerds podcast since the first episode, and I find it to be a funny and insightful weekly recap of SNL. The hosts are obviously big fans of SNL.
Obviously.
But are not afraid to be critical of the things that don't work on the show.
That's right.
As you've heard today.
We don't shy away from controversy.
That's right. They also tend to go on highly entertaining tangents, such as the long one about Weezer early in the show's run. So
that was one for the ages.
And he gives us 5 stars. That was from MN Jedi Scott, who may or may not have been my college roommate.
Okay.
But still.
Get a peek behind the curtain there.
Well, you know, it's not too tough to figure out from his screen name. My college roommate was named Scott. He lives in Minnesota, and he's a big Star Wars fan. So not too tough to figure out.
Elementary, my dear Watson. All right. Well, thanks, Scott.
Thank you, Scott.
Thank you. And, yeah, that's our episode. And, yeah, guys, if you want to follow me on the social media, I'm at Darren Credible. That's Darin Credible. Instagram, Twitter. I got a website called DarrenCredible.com. I'll be in D.C. on my birthday weekend this Friday.
Ooh.
So, yeah. So, you could see me in D.C. or you can tweet at me a happy birthday or Instagram me a happy birthday or give us a 5-star review.
That is coming Friday, the 15th of March.
Yes, Ides of March.
Yes.
And if you want to be a super great birthday pal, you can give us some money at our Patreon.
Yes, and you just go to non-productive.com.
Yes.
You contribute to the Patreon on there, and you can indicate which one of the many wonderful non-productive shows you're contributing to. In this case, it would be the SNL Nerds.
Yes.
And then we will give you a nice shout-out on the next podcast.
That's right. You get to hear your name coming
That's
out
right.
of our velvety tones.
That's right.
Out of our mouths.
That's right. And, you know, we might even pronounce it correctly.
We don't promise that.
We don't. No guarantees.
Yeah.
But you can follow me on Twitter at Trumbull Comic. And let's see what else. Since the SNL is off the next 2 weeks,
yes,
we're going to come back. We're going to have a theme show. I don't think we want to commit to which theme we've discussed.
Stay tuned.
We will come back. We'll have an incredible theme, and it'll be just so enthralling.
Woo!
You'll be like, oh my God, how did they come up with this incredible theme? I cannot wait to listen to this episode.
It will complete you.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. You will be like Jerry Maguire, Tom Cruise, Jerry Maguire, at the end of Jerry Maguire.
Sweet pull.
You will be giving like a big speech to Renee Zellweger. And Jonathan Lipnicki will be in there somewhere.
He'll be around.
And he'll be talking about how heavy the human head is. It weighs 8 pounds, I think.
I haven't seen that movie in a while. I did not get that reference.
Okay.
I'll take
that's,
your word for
that's
it.
Okay. That wasn't for you.
Okay.
That wasn't for you. That was for all the Jerry Maguire fans.
Oh, wow. All right. Fine. I don't invite you to my grave robbing and suddenly you...
That's right.
This is like that now?
It's like that now.
Wow.
Okay. We'll see if we can repair this rift. Bye next week. Stay tuned.
Later, guys.
Bye.
This has been a non-productive media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.